episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines, and today we're talking about maybe one of the top five most well-known companies in the world, and that is Apple. And we're talking about them for a variety of reasons, but the company once again hit that somewhat symbolic $1 trillion market cap threshold last Wednesday, joining Microsoft as the only two public companies in that rarefied air. The tech giant was up pretty big last week and then saw a somewhat expected downturn on Friday, fell 2%. It's now out of that $1 trillion market cap club once again. So it was there for a little bit, but that doesn't really matter. We're going to talk about Apple for various other reasons, mostly to do with their big product event last week, and then kind of see what's going to happen next. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. So as I mentioned, last week, Apple unveiled its newest iPhones at its now customary pre-holiday shopping season event last Tuesday, which was led by CEO Tim Cook and other top executives. So they showed off three new iPhones under the new iPhone 11 branding. The smartphones feature somewhat standard updates, better battery life, faster processors, some improved cameras. And then what separates the two higher priced new iPhones, which is the iPhone 11 Pro and the iPhone 11 Pro Max, from their less expensive peer, which is just called the iPhone 11 this time around, is a new, what they're calling, triple camera system. And I'm not going to get into all those details. Anyone can watch a bunch of YouTube videos and see what it's like. I think I'm going to get one of the new phones. Not sure yet. I still have the iPhone 7, so I'm due for an update. So I'm looking forward to getting one of these new phones. And then we should also note that they dropped the price of last year's iPhone XR by about 20%. It's now starting at $599, and the iPhone 8 is starting at basically $450. So I'm going to get into the rest of the iPhone 11 pricing, but the idea here is that the price points weren't raised after a couple years of way steeper prices year over year. And the iPhone 11 base model is actually $50 cheaper than last year's comparable new offering. So Apple clearly wants to give its customers every reason possible on signing up for new phones, because there's nothing necessarily earth-shattering about what the new tech is. So they figure, we're not going to raise the prices too crazy. People haven't loved that. iPhone sales have struggled over the last year. So that's clearly, as I said, why they're trying to get people every incentive possible to buy these phones without the new prices. So I quickly want to just run through what the price points are for the iPhone 11. So the iPhone 11 Pro is starting at basically $1,000, $999. And then the iPhone 11 is starting at $699. So $1,000 and $700. Nothing crazy there. And then we already mentioned the iPhone. The outdated models are running at relatively more affordable prices, you could say, as well. But on top of rolling out these new iPhones, which are going to come out on September 20th, and this is ahead of the holiday shopping season, which is when Apple does a lot of its iPhone and other device sales, they also gave more details in pretty much gave us all the information we're going to get until you actually test it out. And that is on their Apple TV service, which is their first foray into the streaming TV world. So we know that Apple TV Plus, not a very original name, since Disney Plus is their streaming service, which they mentioned the name way before, and they did ESPN Plus even before that. So it seems a little goofy that Apple is just putting that plus on the end of their streaming service and somehow thinking it's standing out. But that's a little bit off topic. So we know that Apple TV Plus is going to launch on November 1st, which is almost 2 weeks before Disney Plus launches. Disney Plus is set to launch on November 12th. And at this point, we know that it's going to cost $4.99 per month. After a 7-day free trial, it's going to be available on the Apple TV app. But anyone who buys a new iPhone, and it doesn't have to be a new iPhone 11, but anyone who buys a new phone, iPad, Mac, or other qualifying device is going to get a year worth of Apple TV Plus for free. So an incentive maybe there, if another incentive to possibly buy an iPhone, because still that's where a majority of their business and their revenue is coming from. And on top of this, the $499 price tag is there for a couple reasons. It's there to make their users not have to decide between, say, Netflix or Amazon Prime, between Apple TV Plus. So they're putting it at this relatively cheap price point. So comparatively, HBO Go costs $15 a month. Netflix premium plan costs $16 a month. Amazon Prime costs $13 a month. And that obviously comes with other more retail-based perks. A lot of people don't even know they have Amazon Prime TV with that included. And then Disney Plus is debuting at $6.99 per month. So it's $2 cheaper than what I would say is probably who they're competing with at the beginning, because so many people already have either Netflix or HBO or Amazon Prime. So with these two services set to come out within 2 weeks of each other, that's who maybe they're trying to compete against. But as I mentioned, that $4.99 price tag doesn't seem like it's going to be too high. And also they're rolling out such a small number there because they're only launching with about 10 shows. They have a show called For All Mankind, which is a fictional space race era show. The big show a lot of people have been talking about is one with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell and Reese Witherspoon. It's it's called The Morning Show. It's about a morning news show. And then there's a post-apocalyptic drama, C. And then they have another drama about Emily Dickinson. And they bought a documentary movie called The Elephant Queen, which is about an elephant. So, and then they have some shows coming down the pipeline from Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams and an array of what I would say are pretty much A-list Hollywood stars, both in front of and behind the camera. But we're going to get into this in just a second. The price they're willing to spend on this really shows that Apple, I mean, they have so much money, and we'll talk even more about that later. They're spending a lot of money on some of this content, and they see it as just maybe a lost leader, something like that, to just, we're going to spend a lot of money in the streaming service, not necessarily try to make any money on it right now, but this is part of our growing services business going forward. So reportedly, and this is not official from Apple, but based on reports from the Wall Street Journal and some other places, they spent $15 million an episode to make C, which is, as I said, this post-apocalyptic drama. And so, they're spending $15 million on every episode, and they're rolling this out at just $5 a month. So clearly they don't expect to make much money on this yet. And a reasons Apple stock fell a little bit last Friday had to do with some of this price concern with Apple TV Plus. So Goldman Sachs analysts see this maybe as a problem, at least for now. So analyst Rob Hall cut his Apple price target from $187 per share to $165 per share, warning, quote, of a material negative impact to the company's earnings per share as a result of its plan to offer a trial period for Apple TV Plus service. So as I mentioned, yeah, you'll get that 7 days free, and then you get a full year of it if you buy a new iPhone or anything like that. So that's part of the reason why Apple stock fell. But then Apple quickly responded in an email following the big news from Goldman, saying, quote, "We do not expect the introduction of Apple TV Plus, including the accounting treatment for this service, to have a material impact on our financial results." So they're basically saying it's going to be a wash. If anything, don't expect this service to hurt our business in any way. And they obviously see this as a really long-term boost to the company. And then on top of that, Apple TV Plus and the iPhones, they also got into some more details about their upcoming mobile game service, which is called Apple Arcade. It's going to feature access to roughly 100 titles, and it's going to be at that exact same $4.99 per month price tag when it launches on September 19th. And they're hoping to grab a share of what is, based on lots of reports, a 68.5 billion dollar global mobile games market. So that's just the mobile games market, and the larger video game market is obviously way bigger than that. So there's a lot of money to be made in this streaming or this gaming world, especially on the mobile side. It's a little unclear if people are going to be willing to pay $5.99 or $4.99 a month for the service, especially when so many mobile games are free and so many people are downloading mobile games from the App Store, which is another part of their growing services business. But once again, at such a small price point, I can see people at least giving it a shot. And then if they like it, all of a sudden $5 a month is no big deal to a lot of the people who they're hopefully trying to market this to. And then along with Apple Arcade and Apple TV Plus, they also have a new magazine heavy news service that there's now ads for all over the place. You pay $9.99 a month, so $10 a month, and you get access to all of these name brand magazines in a digital subscription. They also have a new Apple credit card that's in partnership with MasterCard and Goldman Sachs. And then obviously, as I mentioned, a lot of their services business is coming from that App Store revenue. And then they have Spotify, Challenger, Apple Music as well. And the long-term hope is to grow more of their what's roughly 100 or roughly 1 billion hardware users into services customers. So they kind of have this closed loop of you buy an iPhone and then you also have all these other subscription services through Apple as well. And now I want to move on to some broader stuff on Apple. So we saw early on in late 2018, there was that big sell-off. Apple was obviously impacted by that as well. And then there were some initial worries that the U.S.-China trade war is really going to hurt Apple. But Tim Cook and Apple executives, especially Tim Cook, though, have seemed to be in constant contact with President Trump. And some of Apple's biggest products, especially the iPhone, have remained untouched in this current back-and-forth tariff and trade war battle. So it seems like that's at least going to be the case all the way through December 15th for Apple. So that would see them get most of their iPhone and other device sales for the holiday shopping season out of the way already. So at least for now, they'll be fine. And who knows, especially since we've had some positivity over the last week on the trade war front, that this could be even better for Apple going forward. But we should note that the last year has seen their revenues in Greater China fall, their iPhone revenues fall as well. But this is based on some hard to compare periods where there were some really high priced iPhones competing with less expensive comparables the year before that. So this means that a 2020 turnaround could be in store. And we also already saw Apple's sales pop 1%. Last quarter, which is their Q3 of fiscal 2019. And this is after revenues fell 5% in Q2 and 4.5% in Q1. So some positivity last quarter. And now I want to look ahead to what our Zacks consensus estimates are calling for the fourth quarter and then a little bit ahead of that. So for Q4 2019, which is their current quarter, Apple is projected to see its sales fall basically 0.5% from the year ago period. So a little bit of a downturn, but nothing crazy in terms of how the last year has been. But we should note that this slight downturn is coming against the fourth quarter of 2018 when its sales were up 20%. So a hard to compare period, as I mentioned. And then overall, their current fiscal 2019 revenue is expected to fall about 2.7%. So that's this ongoing year that's been a little bit of a struggle, but then 2020, it looks like they're going to be able to bounce back. So the first quarter of 2020, which is this key upcoming holiday shopping period, is expected to climb 1.5%. And then for the full year 2020, for fiscal 2020, revenue is projected to climb 3.8% above our 2019 estimates to well over $268 billion is our exact estimate for 2020. And this would come on top of 2018's figure. So it's not just a little bit of a bounce back from a down year. It's already up against that massive number 2 years ago. And then at the bottom end of the income statement, Apple is expected to see its Q4 earnings sink 2.75%, and its full year fiscal 2019 earnings are expected to fall about 1.9%. But then similar to the top line, 2020 Q1, we're calling for 6% growth. Full year, we're calling for 11.5% growth. So a big comeback starting, that's going to start in this upcoming Q1, which is their holiday shopping period heavy quarter. And we should also note that at the moment, Apple is a Zacks rank number 3 hold. And that's just most of our stocks are going to fall in that middle hold category. And then it has an A grade for momentum in our style score system. And we should note that in terms of some of their valuation metrics, Apple has traded with a price to sales ratio over the last year of as high as 4.2, and it's currently resting at 3.7. So people have been willing to pay even more for Apple over the last year, which could give the stock even more room to run. And we should also note, as we close this out, that Apple is the only of the so-called FANG stocks, which is Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google, to pay a dividend. So Apple's currently paying an annualized dividend of just over $3 per share, and its yield currently sits at 1.4%. And that's relatively favorable at the moment compared to the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury, which is sitting as of Monday morning at about 1.8%. And Apple, as some people might already know, has roughly $200 billion in cash on hand. So they're likely to continue that massive buyback program that the company has done over the last several years. And at the moment, with all we've talked about, it really seems that Apple stock should be considered really a safe haven investment amid what is still an uncertain market at the moment, with all we've done, with just its dividend payment, its ability to continue to buy back shares. And you also get the added potential for if the iPhone 11 ends up being a bigger hit than people expect, and you're getting in on early, maybe this bigger push into the services business that's going to include Apple TV Plus soon enough. But that does it for today's episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.